Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
Early on in the top 10, but top 10 nevertheless. This week, Range Life checks in at number 8 on the countdown. This song is near the top of the list for Pavement songs that make old JD weepy. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel, Patrice from Richmond?
It makes me feel nostalgic.
Yeah. Dripping with it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Dripping with nostalgia. You know, Malcolmus was around 28, 29 when he wrote this, and you can just hear him wondering what the hell he's doing.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band, Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and my proctologist, though he only offered one hand for counting on. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? Well, you'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Andy from Birmingham. Andy, how are you doing, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'm doing great, JD.
That's good to hear. It's a bright, sunny day. I can see from your window.
I can see
there's sunshine coming in.
It's the evening over here. The sun's just going down, so it's spring has finally arrived.
Yes. Oh, spring is a great time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell everybody, Andy is wearing the North America Pavement shirt. With Pavement, you know, as the U.S. and then Canada and Mexico drip down. But Mexico's got a border around it, but Canada doesn't. It's just sort of floating, you know, the ceiling of or the roof of America, perhaps. I don't know. Andy, let's get right into this. Let's talk about your Pavement origin story.
Yeah, so I guess I was like in my early 20s. So when Slanted came out, I was sort of 23. Okay. I was working in an office, and I just had this huge disposable income. I was working at home, and like all my mates would go to the pub of a lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to go down that route sort of thing. So I'd go and like buy albums at my lunchtime. So I was probably at a stage where like Monday to Friday, I was buying at least one album a day. On vinyl, this was.
Oh, wow.
You know, but this is way before CDs. This is 91, you know, the late 80s, early 90s.
Right. And, so CDs are just rearing their heads.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Because I was like an indie kid, you know, that was CDs for like, were like for posh people that like listen to the Blue Nile. You know, it was people that went to stereo shops and, you know, they could hear the difference, whereas I could never hear the difference between vinyl and CD. I probably can now, but at the time, you know, I like that scratch at the beginning of the
vinyl,
you put it on. So
So I'm
over in the UK. I was in Birmingham, and I'd sort of commute in on the train. And over in Birmingham, you'd get two music magazines. You'd get the NME and the Melody Maker. So that's where you like you picked up all like your sort of new music from. So I'd sit on the train and I'd just digest this stuff. And I guess if I leap back a bit forward to that, I'd sort of grown up as a teenager in the UK in like the 1980s, and the UK in the 1980s was a bit rubbish. You know, I just remember it as raining and grey, and then we'd sort of been introduced to like VHS and movies. So we'd got like all these John Hughes movies, you know, the Brat Pack and all that. So, and it just made America seem so cool. And it's like, you know, I can remember the Breakfast Club, and it's like, you know, it's essentially a Saturday morning detention, and it's like the coolest thing ever. And I'm thinking, if I ever got a detention, this would be a shit movie. This would not be cool. But, you know, so everything sort of, but then the music of the time was, I don't know, Springsteen and Hall and Oates and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, that was the mainstream.
Yeah, so then as I sort of came through in like to like 18, 19, all of my friends were sort of into like indie music. So, but it was predominantly British. So it was like the Smiths and Lloyd Cole, and it was all stuff like that. And I was into The Cure. So I was sort of into stuff like that. But then I'd kind of grown up on these VHS movies. And so I'd always sort of look for an American sort of twist to my music.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, the more American it was, the better. So I like stuff like, obviously, REM, but like stuff like Green on Red and that whole Paisley Underground scene that was going on over there, which no one sort of, you know, I sort of gravitated towards the Americans. So sort of people say to me, oh, what was it that got you into Pavement? Was it the lyric? Was it the lyrics or was it the music? And to me, it was neither. To me, it was Malkmus's accent. So it was like, I was like looking for these sort of American accents. So when he sort of, I mean, it wasn't so much on Slanted and Enchanted, but when Crooked Rain came out, if you can imagine him going into, I want a range life, you know, it's a bad impression, but I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. I was like, I just wanted this like offbeat American accents that we just didn't get in the charts over here at all. Like all the American stuff was sort of watered down and you didn't get accents.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So I came at it from a kind of accent perspective.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So that was Crooked Rain, which you got in real time?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I know some of the guys, because I've listened to the pod quite a lot, and I know some of them have, like, found it on, like, you know, the fourth or the fifth and gone backwards. But I was there from the start. So, you know, I'd probably read a review in the Melody Maker or something saying American bands sounds like they must have referenced REM or something. So straight away, without even, because you couldn't hear a track, you know, it's not like you could put Spotify on like you can do now or YouTube. You just had to take this leap of faith.
Yeah.
So I just would have took this leap of faith, as I did with many bands. And I've probably got, you know, I've got thousands and thousands of vinyl albums, and some of them are terrible. You know, some of them are really good. So I've obviously taken this leap, and obviously I've, you know, brought Slanted and Chanted home. And there it is.
He's got it. He's holding it up right now on vinyl.
On vinyl. And so I've just, you know, just absolutely loved it. So I think I've picked them up. I mean, Birmingham was like this sort of cool city. I mean, if people don't know, it's the second city in the UK. Like, so London's obviously the capital, but Birmingham's the second city.
Okay.
So we used to get like lots and lots of bands tour in Birmingham when I was growing up in the late 80s, early 90s. So I think my first ever concert was The Fall.
Oh, cool.
When I was like about 17, I'd got like some fake ID and blagged my way into the Hummingbird in Birmingham, which was this great venue. And so, you know, I'm like a 17-year-old kid, and there's this, like, in front of me, there's the mosh pit, and I'm like, well, what the hell is this? You know, it was an awakening. So I think by the last song, me and my mate dared each other to, like, jump into the mosh pit, and we sort of flailed about and then came running out, and that was it. We were, like, happy, and we were, like, you know, we'd had, like, 10 seconds in the mosh pit and hadn't got knocked unconscious, so. So, yeah, you'd get a lot of bands coming to Birmingham being the second city, so I saw, you know, stuff like Nirvana.
Damn.
who weren't very good, in all honesty.
Oh, really?
No, they were poor, and like Afghan wigs, Dinosaur Jr. But it was at the time, I'm sort of buying like a vinyl album every day to sort of keep myself out the pub. And I'm going to like concerts like twice, three times a week. So I'm I'm going to see anyone. You're up for it.
If somebody's got a live show to go see, you're up for it. You're in.
Yeah. So I went to see a band called Biff Bang Pow, which
never heard of them.
But it was Alan McGee, who owned Creation Records.
Okay.
Who was Oasis's manager. He signed Oasis to Creation.
Yeah.
And I went to see them, and I think it was a vanity project for him. I think he played drums in them. I mean, they weren't very good. But, I think there was like 10 of us there. And like he came out and he bought all 10 of us a drink. Sort of thing.
Oh my God.
So it's like, oh yeah, Alan McGee bought me a pint once.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, you'd get people. I remember one day I was walking down to the train station and there was a little record shop called Swordfish Records that's quite sort of famous. But in fact, it's still going now to this day, Swordfish is. It's still selling vinyl. It's down a side street and, you know, it's an independent and, you know, God knows how it's still going. But I remember I went in and I followed this guy down and he was in this suede suit. And he'd got like tassels on his sleeves and tassels on the back of his pants, this brown suede suit, and he'd got dreadlocks. And I remember like I went into the record shop after him, and it's like, you know, it's one of these places, it's got you can get like six people in, and then it's like breaking all sorts of health and safety rules. you're squeezing by people. And I remember I sort of squeezed by him to get to like the stack of albums, the vinyls next to him that he was looking at, and I sort of glanced up and I was like, fuck, you're Lenny Kravitz.
Oh my God.
And it's like, and so I go in the chat with him, and he was like, yeah, we're playing tonight in Birmingham, and I've like come out for a walk. I like to see the cities I like play in. I mean, this is kind of when he'd got like one album out, you know, he was the mega star that he is. Yeah. I think he was quite surprised that I recognized him. So yeah, that was the sort of scene in Birmingham. It was kind of a cool scene.
Sounds like it.
So the first concert I would have gone to would have been, I've only seen Pavement live once.
You have?
Yeah. So I've been in from the beginning. So this was early 90s, 91, 92, I think. Okay. And they played at the Hummingbirds and they supported Sonic Youth.
Right. That makes sense. 92 then.
Yeah. So, yeah, they supported Sonic Youth. I looked this up. It was Sonic Youth, Pavement, and a band called Cell.
C-E-L-L?
Yeah. And I don't remember anything about Cell.
Maybe you were out of the pub before.
Yeah. Well, this was the sort of scene, wasn't it? You'd sort of go and you'd just be drinking and you'd be with your mates and you'd just be enjoying the concert sort of thing.
That's right.
So yeah, it was 8th of December, 1992. So
December 1992. Oh,
I guess,
man.
Birmingham would have been, you know, what, 2-3 weeks before Christmas. I guess it would have been like quite festive. Christmas trees up in the pubs and whatever, you know, we would have been probably in the Christmas spirit. And, you know, we would have met up in a pub and then gone to the gig later on. And
yeah.
Maybe
that's
good.
Why you miss Sal.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
Yeah. How was it to see them live after listening to them on the record so long?
Just what I imagined, sort of.
Yeah.
Raw indie. Just cool. Yeah. They played a good set. I mean, obviously it was just just the one album.
Right.
So, yeah, I was kind of... So I went through all their albums. And this... But then I had this, like, moment.
Was Watery out at that point? Was Watery Domestic out?
Well, this is the thing, JD. This is embarrassing. But okay, I feel I need to share.
All right.
I I used to just buy albums. I'd never buy seven inches.
Oh.
No 12 inches, nothing. So, now this is embarrassing. It was only a few years ago, like in lockdown, that I started like listening to your pod, and everyone's talking about this watery domestic, and I'm going,
oh my God, really?
Yeah, really? I hadn't got a clue. So I'm like Googling, and I'm looking at the album cover. I'm going, that's a cool cover. That's a cool cover. I'm like, this isn't an album that I know about. I'm like, how? There's no way I could have missed this album. And then I realize it's an EP, and I'm like, oh.
That's why
I missed the EP. So I've like found Watery Domestic like 2 years ago or something ridiculous.
What do you think of it?
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? It's like you kick yourself for not doing it at the time, but then you've got no regrets because you think, whoa, it's like, you know, going up to your attic and finding like, you know, in the Goonies where he finds like the treasure map.
That's right. It's exactly that because you're getting to hear songs that are like 30 years old and they're fresh for you. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's like, whoa, blew my mind.
Well, speaking of mind blowing, I think number seven might be mind blowing for some people. Should we get into the song of the week?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. We'll do that right after this.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
Seven.
We'll be right back.
From the near perfect, slanted and enchanted, comes song number 7. Here. What do you think about the song you got assigned, Andy, from Birmingham?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good. It's classic Pavement, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
It's the sort of like Malkmus stuff that I like, where he's like, you know, you can hear his voice. I mean, the opening line is fantastic.
It is. It's so bittersweet, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I did like kind of look this up, and I was like, someone had written that it's about the futility of Generation X's. You know, this whole, I was dressed for success, but success, it never comes.
Okay.
I never got that. In fact, I'm sure in 1992, we didn't even know what a Generation Xer was. I don't think that was even in popular culture.
Well, it was brought to popular culture in a book called Generation X by Douglas Copeland. And I want to say that was in 93 or 94. So you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been called Generation X, because it wasn't coined until, you know, a year or so later. Unless I'm wrong. Somebody, if you know the date of the time the book Generation X was released by Douglas Copeland, send me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmist.com. Would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So more about Here.
To me, it's like a, it's almost like, well, he doesn't do love songs, does he?
But it's
it's almost that. I mean, perhaps that's, you know, how I wanted to hear it. But that whole thing about, you know, I laugh at your jokes and they're not funny, sort of thing. And it's this self-doubting of himself. I was dressed for success, but success, it never comes.
I know.
I mean, there's bands out there that have got, you know, a back catalogue of like 10, 15 albums, and they haven't got a first opening line as good as that.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, you know, it's good. But, I mean, this is the thing as well. It's a slow song.
Yeah.
He tries to pick it up at the end.
He sure does. That guitar is wailing. The guitar that's in the back of the mix, it is just fucking wailing.
Yeah, but I think you've got to put it into context of the album. This is their debut album.
Yeah.
It comes out, and it's got, you know, and also, you know, we're not listening to this on a CD.
Right.
This is vinyl, and there's two sides. And I think people sort of forget that in the era. So the first side's kind of full on, you know, it opens with Summer Babe.
Yeah.
So this is track 2 on the second side. So you've literally physically got to like flip the vinyl over and put it back on. So it slows it down a little bit. It slows it down. And what, you know, I've got
Loretta Scars before, right?
Yeah, Loretta Scars.
Right.
And then I've got, and I'm not sure, you might know more about this. So on the back cover, there's a track listing. And then for Here, there's an asterisk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does the asterisk mean? It's the only song on Slanted that's got an asterisk. And then there's a little, like, what would you call it? A lyric sheet inside with like artwork on. And then somewhere in there, it explains that basically this album was recorded, which is incredible, really, January the 13th to the 20th. So a 7-day period in 1991. And then it says, except asterisks.
Right.
So
it was recorded in New York.
Okay. Because it says it was recorded in Stockton, California, except asterisk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everything was recorded at Louder Than You Think, Gary's studio.
Yeah. Louder Than You Think.
Except for Here. And that was recorded. That was recorded back in New York City.
Yeah.
With just Steven.
Okay. Yeah. That makes. So did he record it before or after Slanted? I've never known that.
Same time ish. Like in or around that period, like that Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That Christmas, from Christmas to February, I think. It's been a long time since I read Perfect Sound Forever, and everybody who listens to this knows my memory is just shite. So it's,
yeah,
you know.
Because I always thought, did he put it on did someone say we need a slower track after they'd kind of recorded it? I don't know.
I mean, slow, fast, whatever is just a magnificent song. So there's no reason it shouldn't be on the record. You know,
it's that good.
It's that good.
It fits in, doesn't it? It fits in with the whole, you know, it's of the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a Pavement classic. Those first two albums are my favorites.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And then
that's what you go back to? Like if you had to go back to a record today, for nostalgia's sake, which one would you throw on?
Oh God, Crooked Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect. Well, Side One's just perfect. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
But I mean that all of the albums are great. The only one that and I know it's people's favorites, so it's many people's favorites, but the only one that it's still a great album. I'm not knocking it, but Wowie Zowie.
Oh really? I thought you were gonna say Bright in the Corners.
No, I love Bright in the Corners. Right. It's Wowie Zowie, and you know, like you just want to love it, and it's got the best album cover visually.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But it's a bit all over the place.
Sure.
Which I get, I guess I know what they're doing, but because of that, it doesn't flow so much where some of these just flow. So I can appreciate it, but
Did you ever listen to the first three, like the first two 7 inches and the 10 inch? They were later released on a compilation called Westing by Musket and Sextant.
I've got that.
So that is like to me, there's a bunch of songs from Wowie that are similar to those three EPs. And then there's other songs that are similar to Slanted and some that are similar to Crooked Rain and some that we've just never fucking heard this band do before. So I really like that record. It's not my favorite, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. You know when you'd like, I think it's because I'm trying too hard. I really want to love it. And I know people go, yeah, yeah, I didn't get it to the 20th listen. And I'm like, you know, I'm 27th going, yeah, yeah, I can appreciate it. But I really want to love it. And I just, there's this, I don't know.
But, well, I don't know that I can persuade you.
Well, just keep listening to it, and one day it'll click. Yeah. It's like when they split up, I was like, oh no, that's the end. And then he releases that solo album. That solo album is so good.
Isn't it? I fucking love that record. Oh. Yeah, I've been into that. I was into that about a month ago again, and I listened to it for 3 days straight about a month ago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Trojan Curfew. We go to Greece on holiday like once a year. That's like my, like, we're going to Greece. So I've got like on the phone, I've got my headphones on the plane flying over there, and I've got Trojan Curfew on, and I'm looking down at these like little Greek islands. And I'm like, yes.
Oh, that's spectacular. I want to go to Greece really bad. I live in Greek Town in Toronto. So,
okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of the white and blues, but no ocean, no beautiful Greek women. Well, there are some beautiful Greek women, but I digress. Listen, it's been really great talking to you today, Andy from Birmingham. You did very well, and I think you had a hell of a job talking about song number 7. We are almost halfway through the top 10 at this point. Next week, we're going to talk about number 6. And it's anybody's guess what song that's going to be, but it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to that episode as it was to listen to this one. Please join the group over at meetingmalchemist.com. It's on Facebook and it's like a chat group. A lot of fun is had there. We use that as our water cooler, so to speak. Andy, anything you want to plug before we say goodbye?
No. I just guess we're into the classics now, the top 10. I mean, this is going to be awesome, isn't it? It's just,
yeah.
We've got, you know, the absolute bangers now that are in there.
Right. Yeah, I think so. It's going to be interesting to see what comes.
Yeah, I will be interested to get to the top five.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're listening.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, brother.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Wash your goddamn hands.
Hey.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email.
jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.